Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really do have a special guest today. Before we get started, there are two ways you can join the show. We are streaming live via YouTube. So if you have any questions for me and my guests, pop them into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them during and after the show. Also, you guys know the career library is going on. We have the career coaching theme hour. We have the business theme hour. So send me questions at any time. Zach@ZachBallinger.com. We'll make sure to ask them to the appropriate guests. Without further ado, Stacy, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Zach. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so me and Stacy's kind of known each other through the years and got reacquainted kind of on LinkedIn. And so I'm happy to have her. And so, Stacy, can you tell me a little bit about your career?
Sure. So I'm actually going to go all the way back to my education where it started. So I was a graduate of Middle Tennessee State University and really didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I took a business class, fell in love with business, majored in mass communications with an advertising emphasis. After I graduated, had no idea what I was going to do, but I needed a job. So I actually started selling cell phones at US Cellular. And lo and behold, I sold a cell phone to my future manager who got me into pharmaceutical sales. So I started with GSK in pharmaceuticals. And as many, or the dynamics of the industry go, I actually went on to be a contract worker with Boehringer Ingelheim, still doing pharmaceuticals. Then I progressed into home health with Girling Home Health Care. And, then that's when I kind of realized I really wanted to make a very drastic change as I had been working with mid-levels as well as doctors and nurses. And I really wanted to become a PA. I felt like that was my place. That was my purpose. And I just needed to find the means to get there. So actually, while I was getting my MBA at King College, I had this revelation and started doing my prerequisites while I was working full time, finishing my MBA, and then doing prerequisites for my physician assistant program. And so then I went to physician assistant school at South College here in Knoxville, which I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. And the rest is history. That was now I've been practicing for 5 years.
Wow. No wonder we haven't heard from you in a while. You haven't had any time. It's crazy. So now, what were the requirements to get into PA school? Because a lot of students ask me about this. I think it's pretty competitive right now. What are the kind of, do you know, like what you had to do as far as, you know, your own pathway?
Oh, absolutely. So PA school or physician assistant school is extremely competitive. In fact, I've actually had the opportunity to sit in on interviews at my alma mater, South. So, each school is very different. And to be honest, if you're really interested in the physician assistant field or programs, you need to get on to a website. It's CASPA, C-A-S-P-A. And on that website, it's going to have every school's requirements on there. I would also cross-check that, obviously, with the school's own or home site of each school. But that's going to give you an idea of which schools require a certain amount of hours or shadowing hours, specific classes. Usually it's the basics of like biologies, anatomies, chemistries. Some are requiring genetics, some are requiring, you know, organic. So it really depends on which program you're looking at. And again, it's also very diverse in the number of hours that are required. Most of them require a test prior to applying or admission. So just finding out what schools would suit you, tour the school, look at the program, look at their mission statements, talk to students if you can, network, and see what's going to be the best fit for you, and then get after it. And I will say this, most times you will not get in on the first try, but if you're really serious about it, you got to keep plugging away. And take any opportunity that comes along, take it. Okay.
Now, you mentioned that, maybe certain courses, and then mm-hmm. you mentioned the test. Do mm-hmm. they have to have, a GPA requirement?
So again, that is going to differ by school. I will say on average, they want to see a GPA of like a 3.75. Most highly sought after candidates are going to have a pretty high GPA. However, I'm not going to say that is the end all be all. Okay. What you're want to focus on is making sure that your science classes or your science GPA is going to be the highest it can be. Retake a class if you have to. Admission people want to see that you're going to put in the work. PA school is not easy. And so it takes a lot of determination, a lot of studying, and they just want to make sure that you can handle that. And by showing them, you can increase that science GPA or even retake some classes to kind of get boost that GPA. That's what they're going to want to see.
How long is PA school?
So my program was 27 months long. Most of them are approximately that two plus year mark. South College has a quarter system. So that's how we get into the 27 months. 15 months is didactic, which is all book work. In addition to learning how to do physical exams and hands-on within the classroom. Then you spend an entire year doing rotations and in different specialties. So as a PA, you do not specialize up front. You're trained as a generalist. So you will spend an entire year in with hands-on experience. And with that, you're going to probably get at least over 1,800 hours hands-on. And that's being on the conservative side.
Gotcha. Now, there's a little bit of misconceptions, I think, from high school students when I talk to them about a PA. And, you know, when you say physician's assistant, they say, oh, that means they assist the physician. And correct. So can you tell me about what exactly is a physician's assistant? What are the roles and responsibilities?
So that's an excellent question. Excellent question. So really, a physician assistant is there to be part of the medical community. So we are a support team to our doctors, our supervising physicians, who we call them, as well as our nurses and patients. So we are an extension. So for instance, I'm in a primary care setting, and I work with one supervising physician, and I see my own patients, I do my own physicals, I do my own labs, but we are there to collaborate when needed. He is there if I have any questions, and likewise, if he has questions that he wants to run by me, but we are part of a team network that we work together to take care of patients. And that's seen across the emergency rooms and general surgery, pediatrics, dermatology. We are an extension of that care for physicians. We don't necessarily assist unless you're in the OR, which most physician assistants are first assist in that situation where you technically are assisting a provider or a doctor. But that is probably the extent of that. Like I said, you are just an extension arm of the medical community providing care.
I love that answer because I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, when I talk to students that are trying to get into med school, I've seen some people devastated because they don't, you know, make a certain grade on the MCAT or they're waiting it out. And, you know, I always challenge people to think of outside the box a little bit. I said, have you ever thought about being a PA or a nurse practitioner? And they're like, no, I want to be an MD. And I'm like, why do you want to be an MD? Well, I want to treat patients. I want to see patients. And I'm like, again, why haven't you thought about the PA nurse practitioner route? And so what I'm trying to emphasize is you actually have your own appointments with with patients, and you see them one-on-one, correct?
I do. I do. I have my own schedule and everything. And actually, Zach, you just hit the nail on the head with that. Like, I didn't know a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner existed when I was in college, and I will not dare tell you the years I was in college, but it was either nurse or MD. And I knew I wasn't smart enough to be an MD, or I didn't think so at the time, nor was I mature enough, if I'm being quite honest, at the time to go that route. But again, I just kind of explored some other options, fell in love with, you know, something different. But I came back to it, and I'm so thankful that there's an opportunity for people who may not have, you know, a huge science background from day one starting college to allow, you know, someone like me who has a business background, you know, do put in the work and actually become, you know, a medical provider.
Yeah, that's why I was so excited to have you on the show, just because I think so many people that I've talked to, they talk about medical school. And then they're like, I think they have a lot of talents and skills, and they definitely have the heart to take care of patients. They're intelligent enough. But then one of their pushbacks to their life is they're like, I don't want to spend this amount of time to get my MD degree, but I want to do this type job. And I'm like, again, why are you not thinking the mid-level range? And so right. I think it's just a point that a lot of people just don't know their career exists quite. Like you said, when I was in college, I didn't know what a PA was. Even graduating, I was like, oh, well, I guess that means they assist the physician, like right. Somebody asked earlier. So I'm so glad you talked about the differences in that. What do you love about your job? What gets you motivated?
I love my patients. I absolutely love my patients. Now, I kind of compare it to like a family. You love your family, but you also have your hard days too, and you want to pull out your hair sometimes. But I love the interaction that I get with my patients in my clinic. I went into primary care for a reason, because I wanted to develop relationships with my patients. And I feel like, you know, on day one, I've got to set that foundation. But I'm back in the community. So I actually grew up in Maryville, Tennessee, and I'm back in Maryville now practicing. So it's such an honor to actually be back in the community that I grew up in and helping take care of the mental health, physical health of my community. And so I absolutely love that dynamic with my patients. They know my kids by names. They know their birthdays. I know, you know, their dog and what they do, you know, like what treats they feed their dog. So you get to know these people beyond just their medical care. And it really improves the overall health, I think, or the continuum of care, even though we're treating a lot of medical issues. I think there's that personal aspect to it. So that's what I absolutely love about it. And it's always challenging too. I have to throw that in there. You know, you got to want to learn. You want to actually, let me back up. You want to continue to learn. And if you're not wanting to continually learn, this is not the field for you. You're always going to be learning new things. You'll be required to continue your education as well. And that's where the challenge comes in, is just keeping on your toes, making sure that you're keeping up to date with things as well. And pharmaceutical reps tend to help us with that too.
nice plug. Now let's talk about something you briefly mentioned it, but I kind of probably already know the answer, but want to get it from you. What do you like? What should someone know? You know, they see a PA, you're seeing patients, you're making this difference, you're involved in their patient care. Sounds just amazing, but there's got to be difficulties, because there's difficulties in every career. What's some of the challenges that people should know?
Sometimes you're going to have to deliver news that you'd rather not. And you know, it's going to change somebody's life trajectory. And that's really hard to communicate effectively and sincerely. So you could be there to change somebody's life for the good and for the bad. So, you know, you do have some bad days thrown in there. You know, insurance is hard to tackle as well. The administrative work, you know, I went to school so that I could get my hands on patients and I could take care of patients. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm doing 2-3 hours of administrative work on top of things. So, you know, there are some certain dynamics that occur, obviously, in the medical profession, whether it's MD, nurse practitioner, PA, respiratory therapist, you know, you name it. But at the end of the day, I ultimately get to take care of those patients to the best of my ability, and I can overcome, and I can sift through some of those other challenges.
Awesome. Thank you for opening up about that. That really means a lot for us and my audience. Now, you know, I encourage job shadowing, preceptorships. It's been a little bit difficult with the pandemic going on, but let's just talk about this. Let's say somebody did a virtual job shadow and they woke up with Stacy right in the morning. What, and they followed you around for a day. Can you explain your typical day from when you get up in the morning until you get off work?
So, to be quite honest, my morning starts very early. So my husband actually has to leave for work. So I have to get kids dressed and ready for school before I can even think about myself. But my morning starts at the office at 7:30. So I've got to get everybody up and ready into two different places before I can even step foot in the office. Once I get there, I drink lots and lots and lots of coffee. So they probably think I need to back up my coffee. but once I get my coffee down, I always start my morning looking at my labs that came in overnight, making sure nothing's critical. So doing a lot of order sets, you know, reviewing mammograms, looking at consult notes coming through. So my first patient gets there at 8 o'clock. And then we start on a schedule of anywhere from 15 to 20 minute appointments, and we run through until lunch. Lunch is non-existent for the most part, if I'm being quite honest. Again, you're taking phone calls at that point too, or your nurse is relaying messages to you. So by the time you finish charting and getting some administrative work done, you may have about 10, 15 minutes on a good day to grab a bite to eat and then ramp up for the afternoon. My afternoon usually finishes around 4:30, depending on the day. And then, like I said, you have another hour or two of administrative work at least at the end of the day as well. So the beauty of this is I'm off on Fridays. I get to work 4 days a week. And so that allows me to be mommy and errand runner and everything else on a Friday, or, you know, interviewing for a podcast.
Throw that in there.
It allows some flexibility in there as well, but you work long and hard the days that you're there. And, but again, it's all worth it. I've never looked back otherwise, and I've never worked hard this hard otherwise, but I've never looked back on my career choice.
That's awesome. Just such great, just a great glimpse of your day and the picture of your life. And then you're seeing the patients during that time. And, you know, I'm so glad that you started off with what you had to do on your personal side, because I think we leave that out when we talk about, but that's a reality of either having kids and then getting ready. And then you talked about your admin work and then what you have to do afterwards and the lunch. Same thing that happened with my interview with the nurse practitioner. She does not take a lunch herself. So it's funny you guys both mentioned that. Let's talk about, we're taking you back in a time machine and you were in second, third, fourth, fifth grade. Was your dream career you had always dreamed about doing?
Physical therapy.
So helping patients.
So, and the reason for that is in elementary school, we had a physical therapist come into our classroom and talk about what she did. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And so I think sometimes what we're lacking in our, you know, in our schools now is just a broader version of what career choices there are. You know, it was interesting that they brought in a physical therapist, happened to be a mom of one of our friends, but, you know, it usually was centered around firemen, doctors, you know, a policeman, lawyer, you know, like kind of those big groups or those big headlines. And so a lot of like a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner or this, any mid-levels wasn't introduced at, obviously, at that point. And interestingly enough, we actually mentioned this, so I don't know if the nurse practitioner talked about this, but there's no mid-levels on TV shows. Like you look at all the medical, you know, shows that are on TV, there's no mid-levels. And so it's a very big opportunity that we can get into school systems and start introducing a nurse practitioner, or even a physician assistant as a job opportunity to elementary students. But physical therapy was on my top of the list.
It's so awesome. You kind of look back and you see your dream in the mirror. Sometimes that's what I encourage people to do. Sometimes their dream is right in front of the mirror and we don't even realize it. It's so neat. You know, you talked about that. I think that's the way educational systems, if you talk about it, there has been a little bit of improvement on it. But the two things that I think we lack at the high school level is A, career development. Two is personal finance.
Yes.
And so I definitely agree with you there that it needs to be more of a focus, because what's the main point of going to school? It's to find a career that you actually enjoy doing while making an income at it and going out in the real world. So
absolutely.
I try to shine a light on that. Stacy, I did want to get to some of these questions that came in, because like I said, this is a very popular career that people have asked about.
Sure.
somebody asked, what's the difference in being a nurse practitioner and a PA? Which one should I pursue?
Sure. So I kind of start off by saying, okay, what's the difference between an MD and a DO? So an MD is obviously a doctor, and so is a DO. So what's the difference between an MP and a PA? We're both mid-levels. So what it boils down to is education. So education is a little different for an MP and a PA. Nurse practitioners have to start off as a nurse. Okay. So you have to have an RN, I believe. You may want to ask the nurse practitioner, but you do have to have a nursing background prior to pursuing the master's aspect of this as well. Also, their program, because you already have experience, is not dedicated to a full year hands-on experience. So actually, I have a nurse practitioner student with me who is getting her hands-on hours with us right now. And so when she completes her hours, she's actually done and can go back to the classroom and continue to work as a nurse practitioner. Physician assistants. So basically, you can come from any background. I was a pharmaceutical rep with a business degree. You know, there's other teachers, there's kinesiology majors. So you can have a different background as long as you've done the prerequisites. And like I said, as I alluded to earlier, you have a didactic and then a clinical year. And you will not be working during that time. It's full hands-on. You basically get med school in 2 years. You're standing at the end of a fire hydrant, more or less. So, but again, it boils down to education. At the end of the day, most of us can do, well, I'm trained as a generalist, so I can go into surgery one day, pediatrics another day, primary care, dermatology. The world's my oyster at that point. I do know nurse practitioners need to know if they're going to do like a pediatric field or if they're going to do an adult health. That is the only other difference that I'm aware of, but both mid-levels at the end of the day.
Awesome. Great answer. Great definition there. Next question comes in. Can PA specialize in certain specialties?
Absolutely. In fact, the vast majority do. A lot of PAs, it's really... the family medicine, internal medicine is not really glamorous per se. So yes, you can absolutely specialize in surgery. I know actually, I think it's UAB or University of Alabama. They actually have a PA program that specializes in surgery. LMU just came up here in Knoxville and they're specializing in surgery as well. So if you're interested in like especially surgery aspect, you can. Even as a generalist, you can be in cardiology, you can be in dermatology, and they train you when you get there. So when you're hired on, you'll do a training session, obviously, with your supervising physicians or even other mid-levels and kind of get you up to speed in that specialty. But the vast majority of physician assistants actually specialize.
Gotcha. Next question comes in. Do PAs see patients in the hospital or in their nursing homes?
So yes, nurse practitioners, PAs, you can be actually hospitalist. So you can work as a hospital team, see patient inpatients as well. They're depending on how rural you are or not. I know personally, we don't go into the hospital and see our patients anymore. But in rural areas, it may not be unheard of for you to have like an outpatient clinic and also go inpatient to see your patients. And then what was the other question? It was part of that.
It says, do they either go in the hospital to see patients or their nursing home?
Oh, nursing home. So actually, yes, nurse practitioners and PAs can actually be in nursing homes. And actually there's a huge need for that right now. So you can actually make your practice in a nursing home setting. And actually I just had a patient of mine come in to see me yesterday, and she is actually a nurse practitioner in a nursing home right now.
Awesome. The next question that comes in, it says, how long have you been a physician assistant? I think you said that earlier, but
5 years. I've been practicing now for 5 years. Yes, sir.
And then the last question that comes in, it says, I'm trying to get into PA school right now. It's very competitive. I've been turned down twice. Any recommendations for me to get in?
Sure. I hear this all the time. So I want to say, keep at it. Okay. and congratulations for even getting this far into it. It's not easy even getting there. I think I referenced this earlier, get your science GPA up as high as you can. Shadow or get experience, even as a CNA, you know, getting hands-on experience with patients. We want to hear about that in interviews for candidates. We want a really well-rounded candidate who knows exactly that they want to be a PA and just keep pressing on. Ask them if you do get an interview and they tell you, well, you're waitlisted or, you know, we can't accept you this round. Ask them what you can do to kind of make you a better candidate for the next time around and let them know that they'll see you again. Be confident in that too. But honestly, just really do what you can do to kind of up the ante on those GPAs, experience, and just apply as many places as you can too.
A follow-up question while you were talking came in. It says, on the average, how many PAs get accepted to PA school? I guess that depends on the college, but if there's an average.
It does. There are PA schools popping up everywhere, though. So I know just even with, and I can only speak to South College right now, but there's a Nashville campus, an Atlanta campus. Now there's an Asheville, North Carolina campus. So really, it's going to depend on the program. So the one here in Knoxville, per se, we accept 85, patients, 85 students, whereas, you know, another program may only accept 40. So I think it really just depends on the program for that. But they will be upfront with you about how many or class size when you're researching the institution that you're looking at.
Stacy, this has been so informative. We know you're really busy. Obviously, you've walked us through your day and your week, and Friday is kind of your day to catch up with your kids. And we just really appreciate this. I know it's been a hot topic around students, the PA, the nurse practitioner fields. So I've always wanted to have this kind of career in my library. So just thanks for giving back to my audience and being so passionate about what you do.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much for this opportunity. It's quite an honor. So thank you.
We hope you have a great day. Enjoy your weekend. We know you're going to have a busy clinic on Monday, so we want you to get plenty of rest.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Take care.
Bye-bye.